Welcome to the Mum Break Podcast, a place where you can feel normal, get helpful information, and laugh your ass off. Hopefully without peeing your pants. I'm your host, Erica, and I have two kiddos. I am not a mom expert, but I do have a zillion hours of therapy under my belt and no filter. I'm on my own journey to find happiness, and I want to help you on the way to yours. Okay, you guys have been asking for this one for a long freaking time, so I am going to talk all about how I wake up at 4 a.m. because most of you think I'm a freaking crazy person, and actually a good amount of you, to be honest, really want to be able to do it, but then think, okay, I know there's no effing way I can do this. I'm giving up. I don't want to. I want some time alone, but I just can't. So I'm just going to chat with you guys today a little bit about why I do it, how I do it, and then some tips and tricks I've learned along the way. So this one is just with Erica. Hi, I'm Erica from Mum Break. I feel like someone needs to be here with me. It's lonely. The reason why I wanted to do this one today, not only because you guys ask me a ton of questions about it all the time because I know that it's a little bit weird to wake up so early, but also because I'm recording this on, let's see what date it is today, Monday, March 16th, and I just finished watching the press release that Canada is closing its borders. We are in the midst, and if you're watching this in the future, we are currently, as Canadians and the world, but specifically to Ottawa because that's been my experience, in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. So I'm kind of hoping that if you're watching this in the future, you're like, wow, cool, we got through that. This is great. But in the meantime, everyone is currently freaking out a little bit, specifically about how the frick to get things done with kids being off school. Now, I know I am. My personal situation right now is that I work two jobs. It sounds busier than it is because it's not. It's only a total of 5 days a week, but 2 days a week on my blog, this stuff, and then 3 days a week in my day job, and that's in marketing and communications for a tech company. But the kids are now both home all of those days. So it's about trying to find a balance, and that's actually why I started this whole 4 a.m. wake up thing in the first place, was because I have these two jobs. That being said, my oldest child is in school during the day and my other one is in daycare, so there's a lot more time. But I was still, even then with them being in school, I was still finding that if I woke up with them, then did the whole morning hustle, which leaves nobody in a good mood. I am always infinitely grumpier when I'm done that ridiculous morning hustle. I get my school drop off, then I go and work for 9 hours. I do school pickup, or I don't do school pickup. Depends on the day. My husband does it some days. I do it some days. We get the children, hang out with the children, and then regardless of what time I woke up, I was always exhausted at night. Like, seriously, I'm not even kidding you. I could wake up at 4 a.m. or I could wake up at 10 a.m. And regardless, I am still, after that day and after that routine, exhausted. So I realized after years of experimenting that when I looked back on my days and I looked back at my, you know, weeks and months and to see what had gone well, what I realized was that the days where I had time before the kids woke up to myself to do whatever I wanted, whether that was work on the blog, to sit and have some coffee and read the news. I attempted to meditate for a short period of time, but that flopped. I tried. But I tried it. That's all I need to know is I tried it. It's not for me. The point is that I looked back and I realized that the days where I had really great days were the days where I had at least some chunk of time to myself before the kids woke up, where I essentially wasn't being woken up by kids jumping on my face or screaming in their crib, or the very first thing in the morning I do is change poop. Like, I realized that I needed to do something for me before I did something for them. So that's why waking up before them started. And it's really super important to note that I didn't start doing this until both of my kids were consistently sleeping through the night and on a consistent schedule. So I could almost set the clock to their schedules now. Yes, there's periods and there's phases where it's wonky and life, you know, it's just life. I can't control it. But for the most part, generally, they kind of go from, like, our bedtime routine starts and ends between 6 and 7 at night, and they're generally up around between 6 and 7 a.m. Again, there's some wiggle room there, but I didn't start focusing on waking up before them until we got into that routine, and more importantly, that my youngest kid was sleeping through the night. There is no way that I would do this if I was still managing night. It sounds terrible. So I started this about, oh God, how old are my kids now? I'm going to say about a year ago. I now wake up pretty consistently at 4 a.m. every morning. When I first started this, I started at 5:30 a.m. I did not start right at 4:30 a.m. I started at 5:30. That was good enough for me. It was enough time to check emails, brush my teeth, do my hair, get clothes on, get ready for the day so that I'm not literally lunging out of bed, throwing on whatever was closest to the bed, and sprinting to the toddler who'd been screaming in his crib for an hour. That was not an ideal scenario. So I started at 5:30 and I just kind of went from there, and it got to the point where once I was consistently waking up without the alarm and I wasn't needing to have that alarm to wake up, I realized that I could bump it back. And I think the next increment I went to was 5 o'clock, 4:30, 4 o'clock. It sort of went like that over a period of time. And I genuinely am at the stage now where my body just wakes up. I can't sleep in. It's funny because today was my, I'm going to say air quotes, sleep in day, because we're now again in this COVID-19 coronavirus thing. My husband's home. We're all quarantined. Whatever. Future people are going to be like, oh yeah, that time when. But my husband is home with me, which means that we're trading off on sleep in days. So that I quote unquote slept in till 5:45 today. That was my new sleep in. And that's like almost 2 hours past when I would normally wake up. Now the benefits of the air quotes sleep in day with this whole one on one off is that the thing I hate the most is being responsible for them right first thing in the morning, you know, like getting up, having to change it. Like I just want a pause, which is why me waking up so early is the huge driving force. I cannot emphasize enough how for me, this is helping with my mental health more than anything. I need this to function. I need this. My kids are both, how do I put this? Other people see my kids, they're like, oh yeah, they are busy. Oh yeah, there are some behaviors there. So I love my kids. They're amazing. They're absolutely not busy. There's a lot of behaviors that we're constantly dealing with that require a lot of additional patience above and beyond, I think, what's considered normal. And I tap out of patience really early if I'm waking up first thing and sprinting to a screaming kid. I need this for me, for my mental health. Otherwise, I am a huge B for the rest of the day. And I realized that after looking back and figuring out what makes my days good and what makes them bad in hindsight, like I said, what made them good was by waking up early. So that's my why. It is a huge driving force. How do I do it? Okay. So I'm going to speak to my own personal experience, because I'm sure if you typed into Mr. Google right now, how do I wake up early? There will be a lot of really great tips, but I just want to share what I specifically did and what works for me, because there's a couple things I've noticed, and this has not been a perfect system. This has been a learning curve. It hasn't been smooth this entire time, but there's a couple things that I've learned for me that if I don't do them, I don't wake up. It just doesn't happen. And the number one is coffee. A big part of the joy for me of waking up early is sitting and having, I'm a coffee drinker now in the morning, sitting and having a full cup of hot coffee by myself and sitting and doing my journal and emails and just sitting for a moment quietly by myself and getting started in my day. that's something I need to ground me so that I can plan out and know what I'm doing. But if I wake up and know that I have to make coffee and delay that process so early in the morning, I won't get up. So every single night, I actually pre-make my coffee with the timer on our coffee machine. So when I'm doing the dishes, we're cleaning up. It's actually part of my routine where it's just one extra step. Whereas you're putting away the dishes, wiping the counters, that one extra step is just fill up the coffee, press the timer button, and it's set to 4 a.m. so that by the time I get downstairs, there's a full fresh pot of coffee waiting for me, and it is glorious. Now, there's been a few nights where I've sat in bed and realized that I hadn't put the coffee. And those next mornings, I just snoozed and I snoozed and I snoozed and I didn't get up. So for me, that's something that needs to happen. Number two, I need to set out my clothes the night before. If I have to rummage around my dark bedroom, worrying about disturbing my husband and trying to piece together an outfit for the day, I'm not going to do that. So before I get in bed, I have to put my clothes out. I throw them in our master bedroom just on the cabinet, and it's depending on what I'm doing that day, it's just whatever that outfit is. So I just change right into it. I don't need to think. It's super easy. So another one that of how I wake up early, this is the number one question I get asked all the time, which I understand is like the weirdest thing to you guys, but how do I go to bed? How do I wake up early? I go to bed early, really freakishly early, to the point where I miss a lot of group texts. If you text me after 8:30, I'm not getting it. I will not see it again until like 5 a.m. But I make it a point to, I'm generally in bed, asleep, lights out, like snoring, sawing logs by 9 p.m., which means I'm doing like a 9 p.m. to a 4 a.m. consistently almost every single night. Some nights it's much earlier because I'm exhausted from whatever has happened throughout the day. Some days it's much later, depending on if I get sucked into Grey's Anatomy. My willpower on this one's not particularly good, but one of the things that I do is I use, here we go back to meditation. It's actually not, it's a meditation app, but it's actually a hypnotherapy track. So it's kind of like this hippie voodoo thing where it says you're getting sleepy, but it actually really works. I'll find it and I'll link it up. I pay for the subscription. I've tried to pitch them a lot to sell them on here, but they want nothing to do with me. But I'll link the track. There's a free trial you can try out, but I don't know, something about it, it's really hippie. It works every time. So if I feel like, actually one time it wasn't and I figured what was going on, but my brain just would not turn off. But literally once out of like the 75 times I've used it or had to use it, it's the only time it hasn't worked. So, and then I fell asleep shortly after anyways, but I've literally never made it to the end of the track except for that one time. And that's one of the things I do to go to bed early. We also make a point to turn off the TV. I find that if I really need to get a bit sleepy, I read a book because I'm a mom of young kids. And if I read a book, I'm like, can't finish, can't read books. So those are, it's also really helpful that my husband goes to bed early. I think a lot of people ask about that. We're on similar-ish schedules. He wakes up for work at 5, but so we go to bed at the same time. So the kids are in bed usually by 7. Aubrey's like puttering around her and probably doesn't fall asleep till 8. And my husband and I will cuddle in bed and watch a movie for a bit and then are asleep by 9. So it's a really good little routine. I think this one's a little bit cheesy, but the one thing I do to make sure that I'm actually waking up in the morning and the how I do it is I have something I'm excited about doing. So recently I've really struggled to get up in the morning. There's been a lot going on, but I haven't really felt motivated enough to find something that I'm excited about waking up early to do. For me, it could be working on an exciting project for my blog. It could be that I want to try a new workout track. It could be, but it's something very specific that I'm getting up to do. A lot of the times, it's like the podcast or the newsletter. Let's say, for instance, so this podcast comes out every Wednesday. a lot of the time Wednesday at 4 a.m. I'm hustling out of bed because I haven't finished editing the podcast for that day. But it's not necessarily something exciting, but it's something that motivates me to get my ass up out of bed. So it's about figuring out and having that specific thing that you're going to do so that you don't wake up and just put around the house going, okay, cool, what now? And it could literally be anything. It could be like the meditation. It could be that you're doing stretching. It could be that you're throwing on a YouTube yoga video. It could be that you're doing your beach body workout. Whatever it is, think about it the night before. I make it on a list. I plan out my day ahead of time. But if you're not crazy like me, then you could just literally think about it in your brain. What am I going to do now? Add one more thing to your mental load. What's one extra thing for the mental list? But I think that's the big one. So the how for me, the four that have really worked, like how do I get my ass out of bed, is setting out my clothes, having something that I really want to do, actually going to bed early, and then coffee. Number one by far is coffee. There are a couple little small finicky things that I wanted to talk about a little bit. Is the apps that I use, and then other things of like physically how I get myself up. So the tips that I learned along the way. So I now have an Apple Watch. I haven't always had an Apple Watch throughout this process. So before I had my Apple Watch, I used an app, and I'm going to have to hunt it down because I haven't used it in a while, and I'll put it in the notes. But it basically was a progressive alarm, which means that it didn't wake up going meh, meh, meh. It was sort of a, and you're welcome for doing that for you guys, by the way. It progressively got louder over a period of time. So you set that you're going to wake up between 4 and 4:15, and it does this gradual progressive growth. So it's less abrasive waking up, and I found that really helpful because I didn't wake up in this shell shock, sad, angry, fight or flight mood. And the Apple Watch does something similar. So now to wake up, I don't use that app anymore. What I use is my Apple Watch, and it vibrates. It has, I think they're called haptics. I could be totally wrong, but it's like the tap to wake up, and it's on my wrist. So the bonus of that is it doesn't disturb my husband either, which is really great. When I was really struggling to switch into this mode of waking up early, I really wanted to do it, but my body just wanted nothing to do with it. I asked my husband to kick me awake. So it had gotten to the point where there was, let's say, a couple periods of always missing my alarm or sleeping inconsistently, but the alarm would go off and wake him up, and he would rightfully get super ragey. So I just said to him, I need this. I know that I need this for my mental health. It's going to suck for about 4 minutes, but then after that, I will be completely fine. So I need you to physically kick me out of bed and don't take no for an answer. So we did that for a while. There was maybe like one or two domestics about it, but having that accountability. So if you don't have a partner, maybe it's a friend that you do this with, whatever it might be, you have to message a friend at 4:15 and be like, I'm downstairs having my coffee in real clothes. Could be whatever works for you, but that's what I found in my personal situation was what I needed to make this happen, because I knew that if my alarm kept going off and waking him up and disturbing him, I would feel like shit about it. And then ultimately I would look back at my day and I didn't have that solo time. So I felt like garbage and did not start my day on the right foot. Another tip for me, and I know a lot of people really love their snooze button. I have never in my entire life been a fan. There's been occasionally times here and there in this process where I've resorted to using this snooze button. But I've found that if you have the option to turn it off or just mentally say, look, I'm not snoozing, ultimately it's like ripping off the band-aid. It sucks more in the short term, but it's less pain overall. So I think that's actually, I came up with that analogy on the fly. I'm okay with that. But it's really the reason why I've never loved the snooze button, and I've only sort of used it here and there when difficulty switching to the 4 a.m. is that it prolongs the pain. You know? Does that make sense? And I think those are the big things, guys. Like, honestly, for the most part, I have this big enough why. Why am I doing this? I need this for my mental health. My days are better. And I have all these strategies in place to help form these habits. So things that work for me, your strategies, your hows, your tips, your whatever it is, are probably going to look very different for you. But it's about figuring out what that big, huge, like, why am I waking up early? And then what will work for me to enable me to do this? And that's really what been the goal for me, because then ultimately the other layer of it is just effing do it, right? Like, I kind of just don't give myself a ton of wiggle room all the time. And just when I know that I'm able to wake up and I know that I have something to do and I know that it will make things better, I just effing do it. And if you say, oh, I can't do it, I'm like, well, you don't want to do it enough. It's not that you can't do it. You just don't want to do it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But don't say, oh, I can't do it, it's so hard. No. Stop making excuses. Put on your big girl panties. And if it's something you really want to do, put the strategies and tools in place to be able to do it. And if you don't want to be a morning person, that's completely fine. Not everybody is. I'm a morning person because I am not a night person. I have never been the kind of person that functions well at night. Even when my husband and I were living solo without kids, or we're living together as like a newly engaged couple without kids downtown Toronto, we still on the weekends woke up before 7. Like, we're morning people through and through. I will never be a nighttime person. So I adjusted. And I think I'm going to say something almost completely opposite here, but it's important to add this one extra layer. The base layer, like, let's say, okay, right now I'm picturing a gumball. Here we go with this random analogies. I'm picturing gumball. The core of that gumball is your why. Why are you doing this? What is motivating you to do that? Everyone has their own individual why. The how are the next sort of couple of layers, you know, those ones on the outside. What are you going to set out your clothes? Are you going to make coffee? Are you going to make a list of what you want to do the night before? Are you going to go to bed early? How are you going to go to bed early? Which app are you going to use? All of those sorts of things. Those are all the different layers of the gumball. And ultimately, it's like, well, just start working on that gumball. Like, that's the don't, you know, give yourself too much wiggle room. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Just start the gumball, start working at it. Because if you take a step back and almost completely from the gumball to, like, you're now in the convenience store deciding what snack to get. Okay, admittedly, this is where the analogy is getting a little wonky, but I want you to picture that gumball in, like, a convenience store stand. Take a step back. You're now the person on the outside looking at the gumball. You don't always need to select the gumball. You don't always need to wake up at 4 a.m. You just need to do it when it works for you and your schedule. So all that to say is that a question I get a lot is, do you do this every single day? And my honest answer is no, but I do it as many days as I can and as many days as it makes sense. I choose the gumball when it makes sense for me. So for instance, if I have a networking meeting that ends at 11 p.m. the night before, no, I'm not waking up at 4 a.m. because I know that I'll be a cranky bee on 5 hours of sleep. What I do is I just rearrange my schedule so that I don't have to do anything early in the morning. And honestly, instead of waking up at 4, I'll probably change my alarm to 5:30. So at least I have 10, 15 minutes of guaranteed sleep before they may or may not wake up at 6 a.m. So it's about taking and doing the best that you can and not letting yourself get away with stuff if that's what you want. If you want to choose the gumball, just friggin' do it. But also then allowing yourself some flexibility. Maybe it's only choosing that gumball 3 or 4 days a week, 2 days a week, whatever works for you. But I found in my own personal experience, I tried to push through and do it 6 days a week was what I had started at. Because Sundays is my sleeping day. Saturdays is my sleeping day. My husband sleeps in on Sunday and I sleep in on Saturdays. So I tried literally even on Sundays, I was waking up at 4 a.m. And that wasn't necessarily feasible, because even if I was doing something the night before, I was still waking up at 4, and that's when I was getting tired, is not allowing for life. Okay, I think that I covered all the questions that you guys have had over time. Really, ultimately, what it comes down to is figuring out why, if you want to do this, why you want to do this. Come be a crazy person with me if you want to. And if that's what you want to do, figure out the steps and the strategies that will work for you. Actually, there are a couple books that I think would be really good for this. I'm going to put them in the link below, because I just listened to one, Atomic Habits, that's what it's called. So I listened to it after I implemented my system. I almost wish I had listened to it before. But essentially, Atomic Habits is all about, who is this by? I'm going to have to look this up. It's all about how to change the things, the micro details that you do in your life, so that you're able to achieve bigger picture things. It's about taking small, achievable steps. And okay, Atomic Habits, by James Clear, Atomic Habits. I got it on Audible on audiobook, and it was great. I've actually listened to it twice, because it basically says, what do you want to achieve? Pick your goal. Let's say your goal is to wake up at 4 a.m. What micro, small, attainable habits do you need to put in place to be able to do that? And that's about figuring out your how, those tips of what's going to help. Okay, this was a little bit different than I had actually done before. So many people have asked about the waking up early. I know, it's so weird. No, if I wake up at 4, honestly, I'm what time is it? 3 o'clock right now, and I'm tired. But if I would had slept in till 7, I would genuinely still be tired at 3. I also, this is the Erica share too much that doesn't really matter story, but I also have hypothyroidism too, which essentially just makes you feel frumpy and tired. So I'm used to perpetually being tired. It's just the norm of my life. So regardless of if I sleep, all that to say is that I could wake up at 4 and feel tired by 3, or I could wake up at 10 and still feel tired by 3. So obviously I'm going to choose the one that helps my mental mood and my sort of energy throughout the day. Okay, guys, I think that's it. I'm going to wrap things up. Let's say it's some normal like podcast outro stuff. Okay, so if you like the podcast, I would really love if you go review it, because, so here's what people do with reviews that they don't tell you about. And this is sort of my, my non-lack of filter. Not that any of you care, but a couple different ways that podcast reviews are used. Number one, they're used to make me feel all warm and fuzzy on the inside. Essentially, every time I get a podcast review, it's sort of this little digital, I'm patting myself on the back, pat on the back of, okay, you're doing this for a purpose, you're actually helping people. So there's that side of things. The other side of things that what people do who do podcasts, the reviews, they let other people know that your podcast is not full of SHIT and that it's actually worth listening to. So it helps get more listeners to it. And then the third is the brand side of things. So I'm very, as you know, if you follow me on Instagram, I'm very, very particular about the brands that I work, which means that I don't work with as many brands, but the brands that I work with, it takes a lot longer to nurture. So it takes a lot longer to actually develop the relationships with them, because I want bigger, long-lasting relationships. So I'm not just pitching you guys a ton of SHIT that I don't love and use. So what the podcast reviews do from that side of things is that they help me show credibility in the eyes of the brand. It helps show that you guys actually appreciate what I'm doing, and that Erica, the blogger and marketer, is not full of, again, SHIT. I'm purely spelling for the sake that if there may be kids around, so normally I would just be letting them rip. Anyways, I don't know if anyone's actually ever explained that, but I thought it was worthwhile, because I feel like I ask for these reviews, but that's why. So if you like this podcast, I would love for you to leave a review. If you want to as well, there's a couple really cool things that I have on mumbreak.ca, which is my website, and my Facebook group, Mumbreak, the Facebook group you won't hate. You can go follow me on Instagram at mum.break. That was a whole lot of mouthful for things, you guys. But that's it for today. I'm done. I'm tapping out. I'm going back to compulsively check the news. I hope everyone's staying safe. I'm thinking about you guys. Bye.